This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Monica Brain. Share the road. It's a phrase we hear over and over about cars and bikes. But what does it really mean? Motorists are supposed to give cyclists 5 feet of room in some parts of New Mexico. But on some roads, there aren't bike lanes and space is tight. The number of people who die when cars crash into bikes is going down in the state. In 2015, there were 7. Last year, there were 4. Still, conflicts between drivers and cyclists happen. In Santa Fe earlier this month, some people in a senior biking group were injured when what they described as a road rage incident happened. What do we need to do to make sure cyclists are safe on our roads? Are more bike lanes the answer? Or do drivers need to change the way they interact with bikes on the road? Call us at 277-5866 or tweet us using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. And joining us now in the studio is Edward Garrity. He's a bicycle advocate and a member at large of the Greater Albuquerque Bicycle Advisory Committee. Welcome.
Thank you, Monica.
Also joining us, we have Chuck Malagodi. He's a program coordinator for Parks and Recreation for the City of Albuquerque, and he teaches bike and pedestrian safety for the City of Albuquerque. Welcome.
Thank you, Monica.
Edward, let's start with you. You ride your bike to work every single day. What kind of challenges do you encounter on the road?
Well, you know, personally, I have my roots and don't encounter too many challenges on the road at all. But every once in a while, I come up to an angry driver who doesn't like me being there, but the discomforts are really pretty minor.
And what about you, Chuck?
I guess I'm going to have to agree. I have, you know, very little challenges. I'm actually quite pleased with my route. I do commute to the same route every day. And even when I, you know, run errands or everything, I find Albuquerque a very pleasant place to ride my bike.
Well, what about you? Do you find Albuquerque a pleasant place to ride your bike? Give us a call. The number is 277-5866. Edward, in 2015, we had a number of bicycle fatalities, which put Albuquerque on the list as the worst city to bike in. What do you think accounts for those statistics?
Well, if you look at the statistics going back to, say, 1975, right, we see that bicycle accidents have been falling pretty consistently, right? And when we do look at bicycle accidents, we see that generally they represent about 2% of the total traffic accidents, right? 35,000 people were killed on the road in 2015, right? So I'm thinking pretty much that those statistics are a statistical fluke, right? And it is just happenstance that 7 people happen to be killed, right? Now, there are circumstances in Albuquerque which make some places dangerous.
And talk to us about that. What makes them dangerous for people who are on bikes?
Well, in particular, it's bicycle-automobile interaction, right? And fast-moving traffic, right? No bike lanes on the streets, inattention on the part of drivers, inattention on the part of cyclists, right? There are the same factors cause bicycle accidents that cause automobile accidents.
Chuck, you teach about bicycle safety. What are some of the key tenets that you share about bicycle safety with folks who are wanting to, you know, commute or just ride for fun?
The first thing I really like to emphasize is where placement on the road. So people who are on bikes sometimes have a tendency to ride too close to the curb edge because they feel safer close to the curb edge. Actually, the visibility becomes a lot less when they're riding close to the curb edge, and we can ride 3 feet from the closest object for the curb. There's been some incredible video of people with GoPros facing backwards. And when the cyclist rides close to the curb edge, the motorist gives him less room. And I think it's a visibility problem. When the cyclist is riding 3 feet or more out from the curb edge, the motorist, you can actually see it in the GoPro that the cyclist is wearing going backwards. The motorist recognizes the cyclist, and they do have, you know, they give him more room in that situation.
I mean, how do you feel about cyclists on sidewalks?
I discourage sidewalk riding. For numerous reasons, I think that the sidewalks are a very busy, cluttered area. Most motorists, when they're actually making a right-hand turn into a curb edge, it's not something that they're viewing far back. And people riding on a bicycle on a sidewalk can be traveling at a rapid rate of speed. Our sidewalks are not maintained to the same level as our roadway. And I've actually talked to a lot of people that have encountered big issues on the sidewalk, crashes because of motorists turning right into them.
Well, what do you think about it? Give us a call. The number is 277-5866. Do you think that Albuquerque is a safe city to ride a bicycle in, like the gentlemen here are sharing with us today? Or do you have concerns? Are you afraid to ride a bicycle on the road in Albuquerque? Or what roads do you avoid? 277-5866 is the number. And Chuck, I'm curious. I remember when I lived in Washington, D.C., there's a lot of paths for bikes to ride on. They're dedicated paths. They're not on the road. And I would often find myself driving behind a bike that was riding on the road when there was a perfectly good path right next to it. And I know there's some reasoning for that. Can you share a little bit about that?
The biggest reasoning is that our multi-purpose paths are just that. They're meant for everyone, people learning how to ride a bike, people walking their dog. And speed on those multi-purpose paths should be accordingly. So if you're a commuter, you want to travel 15 miles an hour, it may be more appropriate for you to be taking the roadway in that situation.
And what about when people are first starting to, you know, youngsters are first starting to ride bikes? What kinds of things do you share with them that sort of balance out the need for safety without scaring the pants off of them?
I actually started teaching classes this way, and I try to get people to remember the first time they rode the bike and what a pleasant experience, what did it mean to you? And then I try to get them to think about who taught them how to ride the bike. And they'll usually say a nan or a grandpa or a mama or a dad. And I'll say, well, what experience did they have to teach you bike safety? And I really, really do encourage people to take a bike class through Esperanza, through anywhere in the city. It is incredible what education can do to make you a more predictable rider on the road.
Yeah. Let's let our listeners know about Esperanza. What is that?
I was teaching bike safety for many years in the city of Albuquerque, and it was getting harder and harder for people to take a bike class. The actual League of American Cyclists bike class is 9 hours.
Oh, wow.
Not too many people want to spend 9 hours on a Saturday with me.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, how can we make this an easier, less painful experience? And I knew that if you could give people bicycles, they would probably be more apt to spend some time with you. So Esperanza came into existence 5 years ago. It is a community bicycle safety education center where you can actually take a class, two classes, get a bicycle. One of the classes goes over rules of the road. It is actually how to ride safely on the road. The other is how to be simple bike mechanics, how to stay on the road.
Yeah, it's one thing to own a bike. It's another thing to be able to fix it if the brakes go out or, you know, change a tire even when you're out on the road. We're talking about cycling safety today, particularly drivers interacting with bicycles on the road. And if you want to get in on the conversation, give us a call. The number is 277-5866. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Leanne in Albuquerque. Hey there, Leanne. Oh, it looks like Leanne is not ready. Leanne, are you there? Turn your radio off in the background. Okay, let's go to Gary in Santa Fe. Gary, can you hear us? Looks like Gary's not there either. Let's try Rebecca. Rebecca in Albuquerque. Hello, you're on Let's Talk New
Hello.
Mexico. Hi, what would you like to share today?
Yes.
Rebecca? Can you hear me? Okay.
This is Rebecca. I'm here.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
This is Rebecca. I'm here.
Okay, it looks like we're having some problems with our phone lines today. Some folks not hearing us, but that's okay. We still want to hear from you. You can connect with us through Twitter as well as send us a Facebook message. We'd love to hear from you. Again, the phone lines are 277-5866. And I wanted to get the driver's perspective in this conversation. And I know that many cyclists, probably most cyclists, also drive cars. But there is definitely, when you're learning to drive, there's a perspective that needs to be shared as well. David McGinnis is the president of McGinnis Driver Safety Centers. In classes, he teaches new drivers to be aware of all the vehicles on the road, including bikes.
People that are driving cars have to be expecting the unexpected to pop out in front of them, or for that matter, a kid chasing a ball. But yet you don't know what's going to happen with bicyclers as well. Kid might be going up the road in a residential area, going wiggle, 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 going up there about 1 mile an hour. Okay, when there's another car come down the road in the opposite direction, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to hit your brake, you're going to stay back, let that other car pass, and then make a wide berth around that little kid on that bike. In other words, teach the students that are getting their driver's license how to go ahead and interact with other drivers on the road, and that includes bicyclers. Whatever you see a bicyclist that's driving down, say, a major road, like Candelaria, Manole, San Mateo, there's no bike routes. There's no bike side at all. Share the road. But yet we do have bicyclers there. Now, how are you supposed to interact with them? The law says you're supposed to stay 5 feet away, from any bicycler. Well, sometimes only the thing a driver could do is slam on the brakes, because there's not enough room because the other car is on the other lane there beside him. So bicyclers might get mad sometimes at say, well, you're getting too close to me. Or they might be honked at several times. Well, there's not enough room to squeeze you and 5 feet and their car in the one lane. Just not enough room. So bicyclers have to go ahead and understand what the driver is up to, because most bicyclers are drivers. And they have to contend with it, too. They see other bicyclers out on the road. So how are they going to go ahead and think about them? Do they say give way all the time? Yes, you have to go ahead and give way, because there's no competition between a vehicle and our flesh and bone.
That was David McGinnis, who's president of McGinnis Driver Safety Centers. He also shared with us that bikes are safer when they aren't riding right against the white line on the shoulder. What do you think? Phone lines are open. The number is 277-5866. And we have Chuck Malagodi with us. Chuck, just real quick before we head to a break, any response to what David McGinnis shared?
We do encourage through education that people do plan their routes. There's very little need in most times to be less than a block on San Mateo, and that would minimize any danger they would have. We have an excellent bicycle map with the city of Albuquerque that we produce. We give out many tens of thousands of them. They are free. Most people who are biking, commuting, they have that map laminated up in their house. They actually do plan their routes pretty well. But I do encourage people to take less busy roads.
And you are listening to Let's Talk New Mexico. Today we're talking about bicycle safety and bikes on the road with cars. Talk to us about that conflict. What do you think about it? Is there a conflict at all? I mean, some statistics have said, or one report said that the city of Albuquerque was one of the worst places for bicyclists. It's probably because they were using 2015 statistics that showed that we did have 7 fatalities that year. But is that really the situation here? Give us a call. The phone lines are open. The number is 277-5866. We're going to go to a short break and we'll be right back.
Support comes from Railyard Urgent Care in Santa Fe, locally owned and operated by physicians. Urgent care services on a walk-in basis 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Railyard Urgent Care, 831 South St. Francis Drive.
The law firm of Rothstein Donatelli is committed to supporting KUNM. Since 1976, the firm has litigated Native American law, criminal defense, wrongful death, and civil rights in New Mexico and nationwide. Info at rothsteinlaw.com.
Composer Natalie Joachim is always in demand, juggling multiple projects. So if something's not on her calendar, chances are it's not going to happen.
You probably don't want to look at my calendar. I just schedule every moment of my life, basically.
Natalie Joachim on Chasing Dreams and Scheduling Downtime on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
You are listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Monica Brain. We're talking about cycling safety today. Do you commute to work every day? How is your ride? Do you have enough bike-friendly ways to get to work? Or are you a driver with ideas about how cyclists can be safer? Give us a call. The number is 277-5866. And in the studio with us today, we have Chuck Malagodi. He is a program coordinator for Parks and Recreation for the City of Albuquerque, and he also teaches bike and pedestrian safety for the city. Also, we have Edward Garrity. He is a bicycle advocate and member at large of the Greater Albuquerque Bicycle Advisory Committee. And Chuck, before the break, we were talking a little bit about cars and bikes and interactions and things like that. I'm just curious, when we're talking about this, the responsibility part, where do you think it's heavier? Is it on the cars or is it on the bikes to follow proper procedure on the roads?
Oh, I think it's totally equal. Another thing we really teach heavily in the class, and this is a John Forrester statement, I think it really rings true, cyclists fare best when they act and are treated as drivers of vehicles. And I really emphasize that. People who go against the flow of traffic, major, major faux pas. I actually was in an interaction with a cyclist because the person was riding unpredictably.
So you're talking about like there's dedicated bike lanes and folks are in that bike lane on the other side of the road facing traffic, like they tell pedestrians to do.
Correct. I've seen that, and I've seen it on roads without bike lanes also. Absolutely.
And, I mean, what is wrong with that? If we tell pedestrians that you want to be able to see these cars coming, so walk facing them, what's the issue with bikes?
Because when a motorist is pulling out of a curb cut, they're basically being concerned about other cars hitting them. They're not expecting traffic to be coming against the flow. So a lot of times people are waiting, pulling out. They're looking to the left. They look. They see an opening, and they pull out. They don't always look that quick right to see if a cyclist is coming against the flow of traffic.
And Edward, anything you want to add to this?
Yes, I do. I think that as Chuck has said, right, bicycles fare better when they're treated as vehicles. And I think the question is one of predictability in the car-bike interaction. Drivers are trained pretty well in the rules of the road, so they know to keep right, they know to yield at yield signs, they know to stop at stop signs, right? If bicycles behave in the same manner, right, then it's predictable what they're going to do. And as Mr. McGinnis was saying, right, a lot of times bicycles are just not predictable, right? If you behave as a vehicle, right, position yourself in a place where a driver is expecting to see a vehicle, right, you'll be much better off than if you behave unpredictably. Signal your turns, right? Take the full lane when you feel threatened. New Mexico has a complete streets, or Albuquerque has a complete streets ordinance, which says that the streets are for everybody, for bicycles, pedestrians, and for automobiles. It explicitly says that when a bicyclist feels in danger, he may take the entire lane. And that tactic puts him in the same position as a vehicle, acting as a vehicle, so drivers know exactly what to expect. Right.
Anyone that I know that regularly bikes to work has a story about interacting with a driver, having a driver yell at them, or one of my colleagues mentioned a time that they actually had like a can of soda thrown at them while they were riding. I'm just curious, you know, how you handle those kinds of interactions, and is that the time to
maybe have a learning moment with that driver about bicycle safety or, you know, things like that? What do you think, Edward?
Well, mostly I just ignore those incidents, right? These are similar to road rage, right? And there's not a heck of a lot we can do it. And any reaction is liable to provoke an equal and opposite reaction on the part of the driver, right? And I don't think that that's appropriate, right? I have had pulled off on the side of the road with a flat tire one time, a driver stopped and asked me if I needed any help, right?
Yes, I've done that too.
Drivers are sometimes considerate. I've also had a can of soda thrown at me downtown, right? But I think these are just things that happen, right? Keep your equilibrium and continue.
Chuck, anything you want to add about that?
You know, it's funny. I also had one time I was had a bike car interaction in Albuquerque. And when the woman, it was up by on MLK, up by that S-curve on the top by University. And after the woman hit me, she came out of the car and she started apologizing and kept saying, sorry, sorry, sorry. And I couldn't believe how it de-escalated me because I was kind of amped up after being hit. I wasn't hurt at all. But I think, yeah, keeping a cool-headed and level-headed is so important.
Absolutely. And we're having some problems with our phone lines, which we're working on. But caller Rebecca from Albuquerque, she says that we need to have a bold new solutions to create bike safety barriers that are concrete, totally separate on the roads from cyclists. And Edward, I wanted to ask you about that. You know, we've been talking a lot about behavior, but what about the infrastructure, you know, concrete barriers, more bike lanes, things like that?
Well, you know, Monica, they say that in the risk management business that there are basically three components. And the first component you should deal with when managing risks is engineering, right? Engineering, enforcement, and education, right? And one of my visions for the city of Albuquerque is that it have a coherent and connected network of off-road bike paths, right? And I think this is important to make Albuquerque a friendly city, right? There are places where it's probably not feasible, some of the tight roads downtown, for instance, but we can paint the lanes and maybe put up little concrete barriers that you do in parking lots, right? There are a lot of solutions, but yes, I think that's key to bicycle safety in Albuquerque, right?
And what about like heftier fines for folks who are maybe parking in the bike lanes? I've seen, you know, parking is tight in some places, but it creates this barrier for cyclists.
Well, actually, the Greater Albuquerque Bicycle Advisory Council a couple of months ago recommended to the city that parking be prohibited in bike lanes, right?
Completely.
And Councillor Benton introduced an ordinance before the city council. They haven't discussed it yet to actually implement that. In terms of higher fines, I'm not particularly an enforcement guy, right? But I think that over time, right, when a few people start getting tickets, the culture will grow and people will stop parking in bike lanes, right?
Have you biked in other cities, Edward?
Yeah, I have extensive experience in Boston, San Diego, Miami, Florida, Boulder, Colorado, Denver, Colorado, yes, and lots of other cities around the country.
And how does Albuquerque compare when we're talking about these infrastructure areas?
You know, I think Albuquerque's pretty good, right? It's a smaller town than some of the big metropolitan areas I've biked in, right? And the weather is good, right? Some of the busy streets are scary, but that's true in any metropolitan area. I think probably the best bicycle infrastructure that I've biked with is in Boulder, Colorado, which is also a small town, which does have a coherent network of off-road bike paths. Miami, right? I watched Miami turn around 180 degrees in their attitude toward bicyclists in the 7 years that I lived there, right? And I think a lot of this was due to an organization called, a ride called Critical Mass, right, that happens every month. They put several thousand people on the street, and a lot of drivers had to interact with a lot of bicyclists, and I think that was a learning experience on both sides, right?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about that. It's Friday night, right? Critical Mass?
That's correct. Critical Mass is the last Friday of every month at 6:30 p.m., right? This month, that's tomorrow, and it's starting at the Duck Pond at UNM, right? Often we start at the Civic Plaza downtown. We try to ride on busy streets past entertainment districts so that people will see that there are a lot of bicycles in Albuquerque. And one of my philosophies is that the more bicycles there are on the roads, the more drivers have a chance to interact with them, the better the environment for bicycles will be.
Do you ride together in a big group, like as forming almost like forming one big car, or
we do.
Is it
it's,
in a
it's,
line?
It's one big peloton, right? And it's a little hard to avoid getting spread out a little bit, right? But we basically ride in one big group. And that has a couple of ramifications, right? And one is that we don't always stop at every traffic light. What we'll do is, because it's a big group and it's important that the group ride together and safer even, right, we'll send riders up to a street and they'll perform an action called corking, right? Basically, they'll sit in the traffic lane and prevent drivers from trying to break into the middle of the peloton.
Interesting. Right?
And it's a much safer way of getting a big group through. Now, Critical Mass lasts about 90 minutes, right? So it's no more disruption, really, than a football game letting out, right? Or a concert or an event at the Civic Auditorium.
And it's just the purpose is to really bring visibility.
That's exactly the purpose. We want to be visible.
Chuck, when you are teaching about folks riding together in groups, now, you know, I imagine that Critical Mass is a moment, one thing that happens on Fridays. But other folks that I've talked to have said, when we ride together in groups, we go in a single file line. We try not to do more than seven. Is that basically what you're suggesting?
Yes. When I teach bicycle safety, when we're talking about large groups riding, you do need to be permitted if you're going to be riding in a large group more than two abreast. So I do suggest always that they single up, especially if they're obstructing traffic. Otherwise, they can ride two abreast on the road.
All right. Well, we are talking about bicycle safety today, and we had some callers call in, and we got to some of their messages that I'm going to share with you today. David from Alameda says, drivers on cell phones are always texting and don't see bicyclists and aren't concerned about the shoulder of the road. Dogs get more respect. Chuck, what do you think about that? I will say, just recently, I put an app on my phone that just locks my phone down when it's driving. Because I thought I could be responsible. I thought I could be disciplined enough. And I found myself, I wasn't doing that. And so I had to put an app on that really, you know, there's no looking at it while I'm driving. There's a little message that says, no, you said you weren't going to do this. So what do you think about this?
Oh, I thank you so much for doing that. Because I went to a conference in Washington, D.C. last year about bike and pedestrian fatalities. And it is scary. They do lump it all as in distracted driving. And it is accounting for more and more of the deaths. And that's a really scary feel. It used to be that if you felt like if you were riding safely, predictably, visibly on the road, you would stand a good chance. People on cell phones do change the game.
And if you want to get in on this conversation, unfortunately, our phone lines are not working right now, but you can go to our Facebook page and post a message about what we're talking about. You can also email us at callinshow@kunm.org. And we have Twitter. It's at KUNM News. And we're talking about cyclists, cycling safety. A caller from Albuquerque, she says that a woman riding in Albuquerque, she gets a lot of gender bias harassment, being called names by drivers, people pulling up close to her, brushing up against her or touching her. And that's definitely, you know, something that we see across the United States, not just necessarily here in Albuquerque. Also, caller Ken from Albuquerque says the bike paths are super inconsistent. By Cibola High School and Ellison, the bike lanes just end, and it makes no sense because people are waiting to ride, people are wanting to ride down the Bosque. Chuck, any thoughts about that in terms of, I've seen, you know, sometimes the bike lanes just end, and you're sort of like, now what?
We are constantly trying to improve our network, and that is one of the priorities of this administration. And we will continue to improve the network. So it's a very difficult thing to – sometimes it's not right away to move forward. There's many reasons why the connection may not be there, but I can say that they are looking at where connections can happen right now.
And you know, Chuck, I've also been confused at various times when the bike lane suddenly ends and I'm not exactly sure where to go, right? And as a member of GABAC, one of my priorities is signage, right? I think that people should have pretty explicit directions about how to behave, right? They should have paints marking the bike lanes, right? There should be green paint, and a lot of places that there isn't green paint, right? And we should try to put up a lot more signage. And I realize that we are making progress, right? So in another couple of years, we'll be a lot better.
And I will say that we reached out to both the City of Santa Fe's mayor's office as well as the City of Albuquerque's mayor's office. And the City of Albuquerque wasn't able to provide somebody from the mayor's office to have this conversation with us today, but it's definitely something that we want to continue talking about. Edward, you brought up an interesting thing. What about the idea that all the bike lanes are one color? I think that would be really helpful in terms of being able to know, oh, okay, this is not my zone if you're a driver.
So you've brought up something that's near and dear to my heart.
Oh, really?
In terms of all one color, we've seen green paint popping up in a lot of places around the city. Some people call it Kermit, right? The Kermit treatment, right, for a bike lane, right? And one of the things that we need to do is in some way clearly delineate the space for bicyclists so that both drivers and bicyclists know where they're supposed to be, right? And all one color is a great solution as far as I'm concerned, right? We could paint every bike lane in the city green and I'd be so happy.
Is it something that other cities are doing? Is there a universal color for bike lanes?
That green is becoming pretty much a universal color across the country, right? And many cities are painting a lot of their bike lanes green, right? No city that I know of is painting all of their bike lanes green, but they are in places where car-bicycle interactions are frequent and sometimes difficult because people don't know exactly where they're supposed to be on the road.
I was on Central yesterday, and I noticed there's definitely no bike lanes on Central. And I'm just curious how ART, the whole Albuquerque Rapid Transit, has – have you heard much from the biking community about how that affects their routes or anything like that?
Well, yes, I have. And since ART hasn't started operating yet, I've heard many bicyclists say that the ART lanes are great bike lanes. Right?
So they're riding in the bus lanes?
Well, they're not operating yet, yeah. So riding in the bus lanes. Since there are no bike facilities on Central, and it brings up another point. The Middle Rio Grande Council of Governments, Mr. Cobb, right, has done some safety analysis and some geospatial analysis on accident rates in the city. And there are dangerous corridors. And one of those dangerous corridors is Central, right? We have a problem with Central downtown. We have a problem with Central between about Carlisle and about Louisiana. There are lots of pedestrian deaths, lots of bicycle accidents, right? ART, I think, right, with the frequent buses running down the center and restriction of traffic lanes will convert Central from a high-speed corridor into something that's a little more desirable, right? People will be on lead and coal more than on Central, right? People will take I-40 rather than taking Central to get across town. And I think that it could be, I think it could be a big safety improvement, but this is all speculation since it's not operating yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard is that reducing the amount of that there will be a reduction of the amount of traffic because of those bus lanes for on Central. And go ahead, yeah. Chuck.
Monica, I'd like to mention also Central does have high volume and had high speed, especially before ART. But I think the city has done a really good job at working on Copper, working on a bike boulevard. These are both one block away from Central. Lead coal is an excellent option. So the options are there. And I think, again, it's planning your route and being cognizant of what the roads have to offer.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. We're talking today about cycling in the city, biking. Do you bike to work? You can send your comments to our Facebook page. We're going to go to a short break. We'll be right back.
Red or green? It's the New Mexico question. But when it comes time to donate your unwanted vehicle, it's click or call. If you feel more comfortable filling out an online form, go to KUNM.org and under support, select donate your vehicle. If you'd rather call and speak to a human being, call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227. It's your choice. Click or call. Either way, your old car or truck helps to keep great programs like this one on the air.
What gets passed down orally to future generations can be a wealth of indigenous knowledge. But how much value do we place on this process in modern times? This month, our featured Native author, Donald Fixico, hones in on his own experience and explains the role storytellers play in forming Native identity. Hear more on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
I'm Monica Brain. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. The weather is getting nicer, and that means more bikes on the road. But do you ride your bike year-round here in New Mexico? Does your experience change when there's more cyclists out and about? And how are you treated by drivers? Those are all the top comments and questions that we are covering today. And we've got some calls that came in. We're taking their comments. Raphael called us and he said that bike lanes are useless if drivers don't know where they are. And he wants to see more driver education for New Mexico drivers. And, you know, I think Raphael brings up a good point. We talked with earlier in the show, we talked with David McGinnis from McGinnis Driving School. And you also go to driving school. Chuck, and talk about what folks need to know about, you know, looking for bikes and things like that. Share with us a little bit about that.
One of the things I do when I first go to the driving school is I ask the kids, and it's usually kids about 18, 20 down to 16, and I ask them, how many of you still enjoy bike riding? And almost the whole class raises their hand. And then I say, how many of you have seen someone be mean to a cyclist?
Wow.
And over half usually raise the hand. And then I say, how many of you think you may actually become one of those people and be mean to a cyclist? And sometimes I have as much as a quarter of the class raise the hand. And then we have a discussion why. Why do you think that you're a young person, you enjoy bicycling, you've had maybe a bad encounter with a motorist, why would you subject another person to that? And it gets back into this us versus them. And that's what we really don't want to happen. You know, we like to really emphasize it's people on bikes or people in cars. We're all people. And we start to have a conversation from that point.
And, I mean, what kind of reactions do you get in the class about when you bring these things up and the folks are saying, like, I don't really care about people on bikes?
Well, I do try to hit home to them that, number one, hitting a bicyclist is going to ruin their life, and it will. I still have kind of flashbacks to when I encountered that bike-car collision I had on Central, and it was on Central by La Montanita Co-op pulling out of that driveway. And I try to get back to them the enjoyment of riding a bicycle and the opportunity of people having the option to be multimodal out there and the benefits it has to our society in general.
And Edward, do you want to share anything else about this? You know, particularly talking about young people and maybe raising up a new generation of cyclists and drivers.
Well, it's sort of interesting, Monica. I read a statistic the other day that said in 1969, almost half of grade school and high school students walked or rode their bikes to class, right? In 2015, that was about 2%, right? So we've gotten away from bicycles getting kids to class and kids learning in a course of everyday interactions about how to deal with drivers, right, to the point where we have long lines of vehicles with mom dropping off the kids, right, in front of the schools, which creates its own problem, right? And in terms of what Rafael said, right, in terms of bike lanes being useless, right, when drivers don't know where they are, that brings up my engineering point, which says clearly delineate the bike lanes, right? Maybe paint them green where you need to, just so that everybody knows where they're supposed to be, right? But I think one of the things that we really need to do is the thing that Chuck is doing, right? Going to grade schools and middle schools and teaching kids about bikes and going to driving schools and teaching drivers about bikes. I mean, the more interactions we have, the better we'll behave, I think.
I don't want to spend too much time on art, but Leslie wrote an email to us, and she said that she sees the curb being installed down the middle of Central Avenue in Albuquerque as part of the new rapid transit system. And she says it makes it difficult to cross the street on a bicycle, except at major intersections, and those are more dangerous. She'd like to see cuts in the curbs to make smaller intersections safer. Is this a question of just changing your route? Or should we have some cut-throughs for bikes? What do you think, Edward?
Well, you know, I think it's both, right? On some of the bicycle boulevards we've developed here in Albuquerque, on Silver, for example, we have put curb cuts, right, across Girard, right, so that bicycles can go across. There are several places where bike paths cross major streets, and we have put curb cuts in a lot of them. We need to do a little bit more, right? But route planning, of course, is part of it. Albuquerque's laid on a grid, right? So you don't have to ride on a major street very often, right? You can plan your route and go a block here or there.
Yeah. Byron says that cyclists need to ride defensively and that there needs to be more bike lanes in Albuquerque. He says he also really appreciates motorists who swing wide around cyclists. And Chuck, I wanted to ask you about that because I have to admit that sometimes I'm in a car, I'm driving, and I see a cyclist on the road. Maybe there's not a bike lane or anything like that. And this little moment of panic happens because I don't ride a bike. And so I'm not sure how this whole interaction is going to happen. And what do you say to that? What do you say to drivers who are like, I'm just freaked out about interacting around bikes?
It's the first thing I do say is for them, you know, you come up on a cyclist, maybe you need to take a deep breath, slow down, brake. And then wait for it to be as safe, you know, safe for you and safe for the cyclist, for you to pass the cyclist. It's the one thing I do see in Albuquerque is that a lot of our drivers are rushed. And it really is something I see more than when I travel to other cities. And I don't know why. But it's only going to take a couple extra seconds, actually, maybe 30 seconds to pass the cyclist safely.
And, you know, Monica, one of the things that I always say is that you should just, if you're a driver, treat the bicycle as a slow-moving vehicle, like a piece of farm equipment or something that's going down the street. Slow down, right? Understand what's happening, and when it's safe, then pull out into the other lane and pass.
Steven says he'd like to see more cyclists wearing helmets and using lights. Chuck, helmets, we got to talk about helmets.
I'd love to. The city of Albuquerque, and this is a little unknown fact. When we go to the elementary schools, any kid that brings in a note, free helmet. Also at Esperanza, anyone that comes in and asks for a helmet, we will provide a helmet. So we want to see more people wearing helmets. We think it's very inexpensive insurance. So it is something the city really is trying to promote, more helmet usage. Invest. Bike to Work Day is coming up. We will be on May 18th. There are 16 stops in the city of Albuquerque, and they all will be providing vests.
Vests. Oh, so you're talking
reflective.
About like bright,
exactly.
You know, so that cars can see you and things like that. What about lights? I've seen folks that have like flashing lights or just one solid light. Do you have any suggestions about like what do you prefer? And, you know, if you're going to be riding at night.
I've actually read research on both ways, and I can't definitively say one or the other. For the front, I need to have a steady white light. Mm-hmm. It drives me crazy that flashing, and I think it drives the motorist crazy. In the back, I generally travel with a steady rear red light too also.
Then I use a solid, steady white light in the front, and I flash in the rear. I just want to be really visible, right? I actually wear a light on my helmet and on my bike, right, and on a backpack if I have a backpack, right? So I have lots of lights behind me.
So you're frequently finding yourself riding at night?
Yeah, especially in the wintertime, right, when it gets dark by the time you get out of work, right, or if you want to go down and have a beer at 7 o'clock at night, it's dark, right? I live close to downtown, right, so it's more convenient for me to jump on my bike, right, and go down and have a beer at Dole than it is to drive my car, right? And I think that lights are crucial, right? Visibility is one of the major things that a bicyclist has to worry about. You have to be visible to the motorist.
And it is a law. You need to have a front light, at least a rear reflector. That is what the ordinance in our city does state.
What about a helmet? Is it the law that you need to wear a helmet?
Helmet's a little bit more confusing. We have the 2007 Helmet Act, which states any youth under the age of 18 on any wheeled recreational vehicle must wear a helmet. Uh-huh. There is no adult helmet requirement in the state.
And helmets is also a controversial subject, right?
How so?
Some people say that wearing a helmet is a barrier to people getting on bikes, especially kids riding around the block, right? And they claim that the health benefits to society in terms of prevention of obesity and diabetes so far outweigh the damage that's done by people not wearing helmets, that it's absurd to require people to wear helmets, especially young kids riding to school, right? Now, as I say, this is controversial, right? And I'm not going to take a stand one way or the other on it in terms of what should be done, but I will share that when I'm riding out to get a beer or listen to music on Friday night, I don't wear a helmet.
Oh, interesting. And what about when you talk to young people about it, do you tell them to wear a helmet? Are you, wearing one yourself, Chuck?
Yes, I do wear a helmet everywhere I do ride. I had probably the unfortunate accident of being involved in a hit and run in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the helmet did save my life. Even I did receive a head injury from that. The helmet looked like a broken egg, but by the time I woke up from it all, so I totally believe in helmets. It's cheap insurance. It's kind of like I can't control what drivers do. And with the amount of distracted driving out there, it just makes sense to me.
So my personal thing about helmets is that if I'm going on a long ride or places where traffic is driving fast, I absolutely wear a helmet, right? I absolutely do, right? If I'm cruising around the neighborhood streets at a speed that's less than a fast run, say 12 miles an hour, right, I may not wear a helmet.
We had one online comment. A woman said that she doesn't commute to work on her bike anymore because of the health reasons and because it's so dangerous. But she says it's good when cyclists use the whole car lane when they ride, but that bothers her when cyclists ignore red lights. She doesn't like to see parents and small children in tow on busy streets. And she says she wishes that those folks would use smaller side streets. She hit on a lot of points there. Chuck, anything that you want to share about that? Particularly, I'm curious about parents wanting to tow kids in either have them on the back of the bike or in that cute little cart that they tow behind. Any thoughts on that?
As a parent, I was that parent, not on busy streets, though. I started my daughter at about, I think, 6-7 months. And we graduated from the buggy to the tag-along to us riding to school on a bicycle. So I think it's been an incredible bonding experience for us. We've even cycle toured many places together. It's been one of the most enjoyable things we do in our life. So I'm totally for getting the kids out there young, letting them learn how to be safe, how to be predictable, how to feel confident and assertive on the road.
Edward, let's talk a little bit about businesses. You know, how can businesses encourage more bike safety, but also bicycling in the city? You know, I think about like folks when you see one of those bike racks and there's like bikes on bikes on bikes, because there's clearly so many people that rode their bike to the bowling alley or whatever, and there's not enough racks.
Well, I think you've mentioned the principal point, which is put in parking for bikes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if we have parking for bikes, right, and it's convenient to just drive up and put your bike in a rack, right, it makes it real easy. You know, I've had a lot of cases when I drive downtown and have to lock my bike to a light pole, right, or a fence or something that's just not there, right? So I think the major thing is just bike racks.
And what about the expansion of bike sharing? You know, I've seen a number of situations in other cities about that. Anything you want to share about that, Chuck?
Absolutely. We're the Council of Governments is in negotiation right now with Zagster, and we are going to be increasing our bike share up to bringing it up, I believe, to 250 bikes, which I think is a great thing. Ed and I have been talking about the more bikes that are on the road, the more interactions drivers will have. And actually, it's been proven time and time again, the safer it will be. Bike share is moving up to the Nob Hill area and a bit of an expansion in the downtown area. So we're really looking forward to this expansion of bike share.
And for folks that don't know about that, this is a bank of bikes that yes. you can use like a credit card. And
you
how does
do
it work?
It through your smartphone. And mm-hmm. It's a smart bike with a station that is just a locking station. It is going to be charged. I believe it's $1 for half an hour that you ride the bike for every half an hour. So it's a very inexpensive way to do short trips around town. And I think it'll be a major bonus to the city of Albuquerque.
And we did have a question about what are the best training classes that are available here in terms of bikes, bike safety and things like that. Chuck, you want to weigh in on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. And Esperanza does offer once a month a class open to the public. And it's amazing. We sign up the first Monday of the month at 10 o'clock. Sign-ups can take as little as 10 minutes.
And then it's full.
And then it's full.
Wow.
And you've got to call like a radio contest because we can't even answer the answering machine. We just take the first 10 calls. If you're a veteran, the VA, we also run a class for the VA once a month. If you're a family, and this is an important one to me, and I'd like to see this actually expanded. And you want to try riding your bike with your child to school. We have another program at Esperanza called Family Earn a Bike. And Family Earn a Bike provides bikes for not the entire family, there's a limited number, but bikes for mom, dad, and kids so that everyone can ride their bike to school. And they do receive education through this class. So it depends what you're looking for. If you already have a bike and you don't need a bike, you can always go to Esperanza during our open shop hours. We're open to the general public Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 to 8, and then Sundays, 12 to 7.
Allison wrote us, and she said that there will be more cyclists in the East Mountains. And often motorists yell or threaten cyclists. Also, we had a question, how big of a problem is it when cyclists wear headphones, like they're listening to a podcast or a radio show or something like that? Is that generally discouraged? Do you guys plug in? Chuck, go ahead.
Absolutely not. I never say commuting is, you know, zenful. You know, you're just out there relaxing on the road. I think you have to have all your senses and be totally aware and be on your A game. I still do think that. So I'm going to say I totally discourage headphone usage.
And this is what we tell drivers and pedestrians: just be attentive, pay attention to your environment, know where you are, right? And anything that isolates you from that attention is not a good thing when you're interacting with traffic.
Well, any final thoughts, Edward? We're just wrapping up. Any final thoughts on bike safety today?
Well, bike safety, as the number of bikers increase, is getting better, right? The Greater Albuquerque Bicycle Advisory Council was established to advise the people who design, build, and maintain the transportation networks about bicycle safety and bicycle convenience, right? We're working on it, and we think that we're on the verge of a bicycle revolution, and I hope it's true.
Well, we've reached the end of our hour. I want to say thank you so much to Edward Garrity and to Chuck Maligoti. Also, thanks to David McGinnis. The conversation doesn't have to end here. You can email letstalknewmexico@kunm.org or use the hashtag letstalknewmexico. Marino Spencer is our engineer. Sarah Trujillo screened your calls with assistance from Mallory Begay. Victor Onimale live tweeted our show today. Our music is by D Numbers out of Santa Fe. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Monica Brain, and this is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.